All right, Psalm 4. And it just, the title, of course, is Psalm of David on stringed instruments. We do not know the original tune. Some of these, we'll mention cymbals and some of these other things, so you can imagine the various tunes that went with these things originally. And we don't know the setting or the circumstance necessarily as far as specifics, but we get a general thing in here. And verse 1, I think, is the key. And to the whole rest of the psalm, it says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness." So he's trusting the Lord for his righteousness. He's not looking at his own righteousness, but God is his righteousness. He understands the idea of as far as God is concerned, imputed righteousness. "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." Looking at David's past, we have alluded to the fact that David's life, for all the blessings and magnificent things, David's life was filled with sorrow and grief. And yet God sustained him in each one of these things, and all these life and death situations that David was involved in, especially when he was young, but that they didn't end there. He had these things going on off and on, not as frequently, but off and on when he got older as well. And one of the things that David could look back at, and understand, when he was running from Saul, he was less than 30 years of age. He's in his 20s. And when he's running from Saul, he's going through all these trials, all these difficulties when he's in his youth, which, when you're going through them, is no fun, all right? But when you get older, you can look back, which is what this psalm is doing, look back and say, you know, God, you sustained me there. And you got me through it then. And I was this close to death, and God, you did an amazing thing and spared me, and I'm here I am today praising you and serving you. And God, you did this in the past. And so he says, "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy on me, upon me, and hear my prayer." The idea is now. You did this in the past. I've got a problem now. Hear me now. And then he, because of his past experience, because of his confidence in the Lord, because he can look and see this kind of thing. And for those of you who have known the Lord for any number of years, we can go around the room and share all kinds of testimonies about this kind of thing, how God has I went through this tragedy and this trial, but God sustained me. And because of the trial and difficulty, I was able to do this, and there was an opportunity here. And we see how God uses trials and difficulties to bring us in a different direction. For those of you who are familiar with the history of the founding of Grace Baptist Church, Grace Baptist Church was founded because of tragedy. And yet, very difficult, trying circumstances. And yet, God, because of that, God brought this church into existence. And God continues to sustain this church. It's an amazing thing. One of the, when Aaron and I go through trials and difficulties, or when there's, where's the money going to come from to deal with this? And, you know, just things like that. Say, well, you know, God has kept us here. He has sustained us. When the church was first started, I had the strength and energy to be able to work two jobs. I don't think I could do that now. I might, if I had to, we'll see what comes up. I don't know if I could do that now. But when I was younger, I did that because it was necessary, and God provided the job, and I was able to do it, and God kept us going. And, God continues to sustain this ministry, which means Aaron and I take it that God wants us here. Because of the state of the church here, standard operating procedure. If a pastor leaves, I have no intention of leaving. But if a pastor leaves, you usually have a dip in the attendance, because you have a lot of people that come because they like that particular pastor, they like the teaching, or whatever it may be. And then you have this lull, this down, while they're, and sometimes if it goes a long time, it keeps creeping down. While they're looking for another pastor. And then they finally get the other pastor, and then he's got to build the work back up. And he may have talents and stuff that may get bigger than it was before. That's ideal. But here at Grace, we're right there. All right, I'm on full time. But one of the reasons I'm able to be on full time is my house payment is cheaper than I could rent a studio here in Puyallup. Okay, God sustains us. God put us in a situation where we're able to do what we do. And if I were to leave, this is going to tie into this. If I were to leave, you get down, you're not going to be able to hire a man and be able to pay him. And so Aaron and I take this as a clue that we're supposed, in part, that we're supposed to be here for the sake of the church. If the church gets to 100, don't say, okay, not pastor's going to leave. But it would allow me to breathe a little easier because it wouldn't be so dependent on me. I don't look at it as dependent on me, but you get the idea. All right. But God sustains. God, we look at the difficulties, the hardship of the past, and yet God sustains. And we can come through a financial hardship here at Grace because we look back and see God did just a miraculous thing this time and this time and this time. And, you know, you've heard the stories and so on that one time we got a $7,000 gift from somebody who has never attended here, who lives out of state. Just how God does amazing things to do, to keep the thing going. And so we see here in Psalm 4, David can look back at the past and see how God did amazing things to sustain him. And because he's been through that, that becomes a testimony not to, hey, ain't I something? That becomes a testimony to the glory of God that he is the one who has done this. He is the one who has, because David can say, there wasn't anything I could do. I mean, I was in a lose-lose situation and God, on numbers of occasions, and God stepped in and spared me in something that I was not capable of extricating myself from. I was not capable, and yet God stepped in and took care of it. And so because of that, we have an address to the sons of men in verses 2 and 3. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself, and the Lord will hear when I call unto him. David is dealing with either with enemies, possibly, or he's dealing with, you know, younger people who, you know, we've talked about this before. People in their 20s think they're invincible and immortal. My son loves to sit there and watch YouTube and watch the dumb things that people do. I mean, it's screwy, weird, dangerous things that people do. And 99% of the people that are doing these things are people in their teens, 20s, and early 30s. They haven't graduated from the school of wisdom yet. In fact, some of them have flunked numerous times. And so David could be saying that as well, but also there's a rebuke here. That you have these folks that are pursuing something else. They are turning David's glory. What's David's glory? Is it itself? No, God is his glory. God is the one that he is always boasting of. There's no boasting of David. You look through all the Psalms, you look through the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, and you'll see that David is always attributing these things to God. God gets the glory. You look at the magnificence of the kingdom, God gets the glory. You look at this great victory, God gets the glory. You look at the palace, God gets the glory. You look at all these things, God gets the glory. And so these are they love vanity, they seek after leasing, they are pursuing something else other than David's glory, which is the Lord. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. My job in life is to honor my Savior. I honor him through obedience. I honor him by opening my lips and testifying of him. And the more we do this, by the way, the easier it gets. We find ourselves very often tongue-tied because, what do I say? Well, if you get into the habit of doing this, it gets easier. I was talking to Mary, Lou's daughter, on the phone. We were at Lou's house getting something for her, for Lou, then we need to take it back up to the hospital. And Aaron was with me, and Aaron was cleaning up the kitchen because Lou took off in a big hurry to get up to the hospital because of the blood and so on. And so Aaron was cleaning up the kitchen, and the phone rang. And Aaron was talking to Lou on the cell at the same time, and the caller, your phone is ringing. Do you want us to answer it? Well, I don't know. What's the caller ID say? And she gave her the number. Oh, that's my daughter. And Mary hadn't been able to get hold of Lou, so we went ahead and answered it, and Aaron's doing this number for a little while. And then she passed the phone off to me because there was a knock at the door, and it was the neighbor bringing the mail over and all that stuff. So I'm talking to Mary on the phone. And Mary Mary is very, 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 very chatty. She likes to talk. Probably because she's been housebound. And I didn't look for this. I just tied in the... I knew that she had a little bit of background. I knew that Lou had talked to her. And I knew that when Lou was down there last winter, they went to a little church. And she was hoping that Mary would be able to go to the church, but it isn't working out. And that Lou's husband is Roman Catholic and somewhat hostile. And, or Mary's husband, rather, is Catholic and rather hostile. And so I just started talking about the gospel. What is your hope in? And that, cause she was saying, you guys are such a big help to my mother and blah, blah, blah. Well, says, well, we want to honor the Lord in this. And, she says, well, you know, Lord will be, something the idea of that, well, that'll be a helper. I said, well, understand that our service, Christian service, is done in gratitude and thanksgiving for the salvation that God has already given us. And I tied in that salvation is not of works. And so we began to discuss the gospel and the nature of the gospel and how is Christ's sacrifice, because Roman Catholics believe that Christ died for our sins. It's how is it applied to our account? I have to, you know, Roman Catholicism, I have to be baptized, I have to do this, you know, there's a bunch of the things I have to do in order to get this put to my account. The Bible says, I put my trust in Christ and it's instantly put to my account. I don't have to go through this regimen. I'm going to be talking about that in the morning service. And so dealing with the gospel with Mary. And I talked to her probably 15 minutes about this, maybe longer, clarifying things in her mind. And by the way, Dave, if you can hear me, I need a DVD or CD of recording so that I can send it to Mary. She requested it. But again, a foot in the door, an opportunity to clarify the gospel. And I think Mary does know the Lord, but she's never been taught or discipled or anything. Her trust is in the Lord, but she doesn't know anything beyond that. The Webbers were like that. Justin Weber was like that when he first came into grace. He'd gotten saved at the end of his senior year of high school, and then he and Leandra got married, and then he joined the Air Force so he could support her. And then they showed up, and then he got sent to JBLM, and they show up at our door. All within just like 2 months. And so I talked with him for about 20 minutes or half an hour before I think, okay, I think this guy actually knows the Lord, but that's all he knows. And that's Mary's situation. But tying that in, being used to glorifying God, being used to testify, it becomes easier as you do this. I had an opportunity 9 days ago, had a lunch engagement and was able to just tie in the gospel because there was a little crack in the door, and so we jump right in there. And that's not something that you say, well, you're the pastor. I don't have to do that easily. I have to make myself do that. But it's, as I do more and more of that, it gets easier and easier. So David is testifying of the glory of God. It has been part of his routine. It's how he operates. It's what he does. It's what he says. And we need to be in that habit. Not just giving God the glory, but also looking for those opportunities to share the gospel. Because ultimately, what is the glory of God, his greatest glory is his greatest gift to us. And we can testify of his grace and his goodness, salvation, the gospel message. Sharing the gospel message is a great way to testify of God's goodness and glory. I think the best way. And so know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself, and the Lord will hear when I call on him. God answers our prayers. He does. Our van. Our van. Motor runs fine. Start up, right, boom, off it goes, right off. But if you put it into reverse, it sits there. And it's got almost 230,000 miles on it. And you've seen the condition of it with the crushed in door that David did by hip checking it, trying to get it to latch. This is what happens when you have a son that's as big as a grizzly bear. And so it's got these other issues. So it's not worth fixing. All right. I don't want to pour $3,000 into a car that's worth about $600. And so, if you let it warm up 10 minutes, then it'll go. But I don't want to drive a car like that. You know, I don't want, and plus I'm afraid to take it more than 3 miles from home. I don't want to go up a hill because it might just, whoop, oh, there, we don't have anything. I'm going backwards. The Buick had a problem with it. We're thinking this is going to cost us a fortune to get fixed, but we need to get the Buick fixed. So we had it towed to Norm's to get fixed because it was rattling. And I thought this thing has there's something inside the motor. And I think that, we're going to be down to one car, which is very, very difficult in our situation. I need two. And so I took it over to Norm, and he said, yeah, pull it. You know, we pushed it in. I got AAA, so the tow was free. Pushed it in, and he popped the head, and he says, start it up. And it starts right up. But it's making this rattling noise. And, you know, my mechanic has been doing this for over 40 years. And he just goes, he's listening. He says, pop the hood. Turn off, pop the hood. And so he gets out this great big huge pry bar, and he says, all right, wiggle something. He says, all right, turn it back on again. Yeah, it's that. It was a water pump. That was all it was. I thought I'd thrown a rod in the motor. It was a water pump. It was very simple and relatively inexpensive to fix. So now we have two cars again. Praise the Lord. He meets the needs. He saw the need that was there. We prayed, God, we are in need of two functional vehicles, and God supplied in that area. The Buick had been sitting there because at the time I didn't have the wherewithal. We were so busy in the summer, and so necessity compelled us to do this, and it's all taken care of. Stand in awe, it says verse 4, and sin not, because sin is a disgrace to the glory of God. And sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. You know, if you're like me, you're probably not. You run down this list. Okay, I got to take care of that. My mind isn't as good as I carry a clipboard. Matter of fact, I've started carrying it to church now because I've got things of, oh, I need to talk to so-and-so. I need to make sure this gets done. And my daily, I've only got 5 things on it for this morning that are beyond the normal routine of the service and stuff. I got to talk to so-and-so. I need to give this to so-and-so. I need to make sure this is taken care of. My say Wednesday or Tuesday list is usually like a dozen items or more. All these things I need. And so I'm lying in bed at night. Okay, does this need to be taken care of? And this. And what about this? Oh man, how are we going to get that done? And you develop, you do these things, but this is also why we have a hard time sometimes getting to sleep at night, because we got all these issues running through our head. And it says at the end of verse 5, put your trust in the Lord. And you hear this over and over and over again, and I say this over and over again, and I need to talk to myself. Because we'll say, you know, we are trusting the Lord for eternity. My eternal destiny I have put in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Him alone. My hope is in the Lord and in Him alone. But getting the car fixed or dealing with this problem over here, I don't know if He can handle that. Now, that is what the Puritans used to call practical atheism. It is. Because I can deal with God for eternity, because that is something I have no control over, and I've never seen it, and so it's inevitable. God can take care of it. But something that I have some measure of control over, I have to control. Control freak, you know. I've got to be able to control this, and I've got to get this thing fixed and get it in the right place and make it function. And while I'm doing this, I got to deal with this one, and then this one, and we're juggling plates, you know, we're spinning plates. I have to trust the Lord. I have to do what I need to do, but I have to trust the Lord for what I can't do. And even the things that I am doing, I need to trust the Lord for the strength and ability to do it and do it right, and for the outcome of whatever I'm working on, even if it's something little. Like fixing a car or a blender or, you know, whatever it might be, an appliance. I think of household things, but also circumstances. You know, is this going to work out? I've got this tight schedule. How am I going to make this happen, this happen, this happen? My family, thank the Lord. Thank you for Grace Baptist Church for that. We have dental insurance. and your checkups are free. Now, if you have work done, that's another story, right? Which is standard operating procedure. Aaron had no cavities. David had one. Sam had one. And I had no cavities. Hey, blessings. All right, blessings. All right, so giving God the glory for these things, and I'm going to put my trust in the Lord, not just for eternity, but for the dentist and the car and the roof over my head and all these other things. I have to trust him for these things. Not because I'm thrust into a situation where I'm compelled to, although sometimes we are, as a reminder that we are dependent on him, but also because it is what we ought to do. Now, outsiders looking in. They look at us. They think we're screwballs. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Is there a God out there that actually cares? Are things just random happenstance, or is God in control and God doing something? Does God orchestrate our circumstances? Is God very much involved in all the events that go on in the world and in our lives in particular? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than the time that the... Okay. God, do this that the world outside will look in and say, hey, I can't explain it, but something keeps happening here, and it's not normal. And we will give God the glory, and they're left shaking their heads because either they're going to believe and say, oh, I guess God is there, or I can't explain it. I won't believe what you believe, but I can't explain it. And so, again, God getting the glory. Lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than the time that their corn and their wine increase. I both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. You know, how many watched the Seahawks game yesterday? I'm looking at, okay. It was on at my house, and I was out in the office, and I could tell it was on because I heard my wife going, woo! And that kind of thing. Keep you awake. And I heard a lot of that yesterday because it was evidently I did see the final score, and I probably saw 15 minutes of the game maybe. But we get really excited over things like that. We get jazzed. Oh, wow, look at that. Yeah, woo-hoo. Yeah. But we, and I'm not saying we have to yell and scream and shout about the Lord and so on, but as far as we seem to have more enthusiasm about things that make really no difference in reality than we do about the things of God. And so put your glad, more than the time that their corn and their wine are increased, more than the harvest celebrations that they would have here, more than the time of sheep shearing and all these other things that were festal celebrations. And we get excited about the circumstances. Oh boy, we're going to be doing this. And oh boy, I get to see so and so. And this is going to be a great time. And we need to have as much or more of that when we think, you know, I get to spend time with the Lord. I get to hear his word. I get to sing praises to his name. I get an opportunity to share the gospel. I get to sit down and I get to read the scriptures. And this is the highlight of my day, that I get to sit down and spend time with God, instead of it just becoming the drudgery or a duty that it too often lapses into. Because if we do these things, we have to understand that God is there and this is who God is. Because when all these things are there, because God doesn't change, we're the ones that vacillate. Verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. And we dealt with this last week in that psalm. For thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell safely. As I'm lying here on my bed at night and dealing with all these issues and I can't sleep, I'm going to cast my burdens to the Lord, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God, it's beyond my control. It's all yours, and I'm going to bed. And we need to take that attitude. God is the one who is in control. We're not. And if we think we are, then we are definitely out of control, because we can't control everything around us. We can't control our circumstances. We can't control outcomes. We can't control it. But God does, because God is in total control of everything. And he knows how many blood cells are coursing through your veins right now. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows how many molecules there are on the mount. He knows all these things. And he not only knows these things, but he is in constant control of all these things. We deal with a God that is so vastly beyond our comprehension as far as power and mental ability. It's just incomprehensible. It's just totally, totally, totally beyond us. And that's the God who loves us and cares for us and deals with all the minutia of our day-to-day goings on. He is able, and he loves us, and we just need to trust him for all those things. Because we can go back and say, look at what you did in my youth. Look what you did last year, last week, yesterday. And here's my dilemma today. And God, I'm going to trust you for that today as well. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you that you indeed are trustworthy. And Father, you always have been. Father, the problem is us. And I pray that we would indeed put our confidence in you, not just for eternity, but Father, for today and tomorrow. And Father, that our anxieties and our fears would all be gone away. Father, you know what we need. You know what we need far more than we know ourselves. And Father, we often are misdirected in these things. And Father, I pray that we would put our trust, our hope in you. Father, we do what we need to do. But Father, so many things are beyond us. And we can't control the outcome of even the things that we think we can control. Father, may our trust be in you. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.